Blog Talk Radio.
Joy and Peace Outreach Ministry, where your host is none other than Minister Sadie Elliott. And welcome to the program today. We have an exciting program today on the very good topic on leadership and the qualities, some of the qualities of a good leader. So before we start today, we will pause for a moment of prayer. Oh, gracious Father, we come this morning, Lord, in the most humblest way that we know how. We come lifting you up to Heavenly Father. Let it be something that I say to Heavenly Father through the word of God. Move Sadie out the way and let the Holy Ghost use me in the way you would have me to be used this day to Heavenly Father on the topic you have given me to Heavenly Father. Let it go out on the airwaves to Heavenly Father where someone may be helped in leadership and that want to be a good leader to Heavenly Father. We ask you this, Lord Jesus. In all Jesus' precious and holy name, amen and thank God. Well, today, when we came up with the topic, leadership. You know, a leadership comes in many varieties and intensive. It is something defined as the ability to create in others the desire to follow. People tend to follow men and women who know where they are going and why. Whenever others will follow your direction or your thinking, you are in a leadership role. Therefore, leaders need to know what they believe and why. And as Christian witnesses, you are a leader. One who shows others how to follow Christ. God is our leader in all that relates to spiritual life, providing his word for direction, his son to show us the way, and his wisdom and help through the Holy Spirit. You know, as I was reading, we have a caller just called in, and the leader must prepare for leadership in the same way Jesus prepared by being willing to suffer. Are you willing to suffer today, audience? Are you really to suffer for Christ's sake, to be a good leader, to be in a leadership position? And as I was going over the word of God and the different scriptures, here we have leadership not only in the church, but in government, in the family, on your job. You have somebody else that's in position that's over you. So before I go any further, let me tune in to my guests that have come on today. Praise the Lord. Good morning.
Good morning. This is Pastor Variance. How are you?
Just fine. Welcome to Joy and Peace. I am so glad and elated that you found time from your busy schedule to tune in to us today. And I am glad you came on because I was hoping you would have come on today on talking about leaders and leadership by us being two women as leaders and in leadership position. And today, you know, we're going to talk about some of the qualities of a good leader. And as I was going through the scriptures, I started off with 1 Timothy, the 3rd chapter, 1 through 12, and I just give a brief thing, and I'll let you come on. And as I was reading it, it was speaking about on this one, an elder must be a man whose life cannot be spoken against.
Right.
And in Titus 1, 6, and 9, it was also saying an elder must live a blameless life. And
yeah,
in this, you know, in this verse, I was saying, in these verses, these two I read, Paul listed numerous of characteristics for anyone in church leadership.
Yeah.
And in Nehemiah 7 and 20 and 2, I'm sorry, 7 and 2, it says, I gave the responsibility of government, Jerusalem, to my brother Hannah, for he was a faithful man who feared God more than most. And here we start with one of our qualities where good leader shows faithfulness and reverence. Would you like to come in on anything? Just come right on in.
Yes. People, you know, they really need to understand a good leader, as Jesus showed us, is not just someone who leads.
Mm-hmm.
Anybody can lead.
Mm-hmm.
Anybody can give instructions. Anybody can tell other people what to do.
Mm-hmm.
But someone who is a good leader should follow the lifestyle and the teachings of Jesus. And I say that because, you know, we use that word so loosely, lifestyle.
Mm-hmm.
You know, prayer is a lifestyle. Worship is a lifestyle. And, you know, we're just using them as things that sound good to the ear without really having revelation of the full meaning of what we're saying.
That's right.
If we're living a lifestyle of prayer and worship, then that should show in our outward appearance of the things that we do and the things that we say. If you're actually living that lifestyle, because we all are leaders, as you said, then it would show in everything that you do. When people see you, they would be able to know, okay, this woman or this man, he prays a lot, or she prays a lot, or, you know, he's very calm and patient and kind and considerate and compassionate and loving and, you know, all of the characteristics that Jesus showed us.
That's right. That is.
But if you're distributing or dispersing the characteristics of the world, yet out of your mouth you say, you know, prayer is a lifestyle and worship is a lifestyle, what lifestyle are you representing? And that's why the word says to examine ourselves. And a true leader will examine their self to see if the life we live, the things we do, the things we say, the places we take this body and our feet, because we know this body is the temple of God. So the things that we do, you know, our body is also the living sacrifice, meaning you can't just do what you want to do with it. You don't understand even what that means, that your body is a living sacrifice, because if you did, you wouldn't do things that people do with the body.
Amen. That's so true.
You wouldn't take it to all of those places. You wouldn't say that type of stuff, you know, out of your mouth if you were really conscious of the fact of what this body really represents. So if we're really leading, then we have to be servants, and that's the problem.
Yes.
As you can see, when Jesus was washing the feet of the disciples, they did not understand what he was saying when he was saying, do this after me. He was saying, serve like I serve. He was not necessarily saying, wash the feet, even though you can, which shows honor, it shows reverence. You know, it shows I can serve. I'm not just here to instruct, but I can be instructed.
That's right.
I can follow. I can, you know, do service to you, because I wasn't called just to be your teacher and in command. I was called to show you how to live. My life should be an example of what you're supposed to do.
That's right.
Oh, everything that I say and do should be a testimony for you. I may not even have to say Jesus and God or Holy Spirit, but in everything that I do, you should see that I'm different from other people.
All right.
You should see the way I handle situations. If something happens, I'm not just going to jump off in the flesh and say, well, you know what, you don't talk to me like that. You don't do this. You don't know, because that's not what Jesus did. Look at the way he let the Pharisees and the Sadducees talk to him. Now, he had all power and authority, and he was in command.
That's right.
He didn't have to allow them to talk to him that way, but he did. He humbled himself before the people, and a good leader will humble themselves.
Uh-huh.
You're not better than the flock.
Yes.
Like Jesus said, the servant is not above the master. We can't be better than him. We can't be him either anyway, because we, unlike him, committed all types of sins.
Yes, yes.
We did all type of things. We've been all type of places. We've said all type of things, unlike him.
That's right. That is so true.
So that's the first thing we need to really go back and examine in ourselves to be a true leader of Jesus' flock. Examine the way you've lived your life, and that would let you know you're not self-righteous because you've done all these things that he's never done.
Yes. Ooh, thank you, Jesus. And as you were saying, Pastor, first people have to learn to be a leader. You must be a servant first.
Yes.
God, you know, good leaders have a servant heart. And as you have you serving others, not worrying about what somebody else do, but you serve like God has ordained you to do. And then one day you can be a good leader. You can be in a leadership role, because people see you are a good servant. No matter what they ask you to do or whatever, you are there. You didn't let them down. You know, when they needed you the most, you were there. Anytime something needed to be done, whether you was asked to do it or not, you being a servant of God, you was humble. You did what God would have done. You're not trying to look at no big eyes, little use, because you want your name in neon lights. No, it's not all about that. It's having a heart for God's people and doing what God say do. That is so true about a servant. And then a good leader has to have a heart for the for people and for prayer. You know, how can you make a good have a good leadership if you don't even have a prayer life? If you don't love the people. And then as I was reading on 2 Corinthians 32:20, that it was saying by King Hezekiah and the prophet Isaiah, they cried in the prayer out in prayer to God in heaven for themselves and for the people, because they prayed. And you know, you have to have, like you were saying earlier, you know, you got to pray. So, you know, they said, well, you got, they put titles on. It's not about titles. It's about being a servant of God and doing what God say do. And when I read about a little further about when David said to God, I have sinned greatly and should have taken the sins. And like you said, we all have sinned and come short of the glory. We've all done something that we had to ask God for forgiveness for. But we, you know, a good leader has to still keep that heart for the people for prayer. And a good leader accepts responsibility for their action.
Yeah.
A good leader. You know, some people like to put up, well, no, it was Sally Sue, with Joe Blow or whatever. But if you know you've done something out of the will of God, just own up to it. Get it cleared out in the air. Don't lie about it. And that way you can go to God forgiveness, and that can be cleared away. But the more you lie about it, you know, that's the hardest going to be. We got to have accept responsibility for our action. You have something.
And that's how we become like Adam and Eve.
Mm-hmm.
People forget where that came from. That started in the garden when God said, "Adam, what happened?" Well, you know, God, the woman you gave me, and then He said, "Eve, what happened?" You know, God, the serpent that was over here. Instead of owning up and taking responsibility for what they did, they blamed each other and then the devil.
Yes, yes. Hmm. And you know, for no one can lay any other's foundation than the one we already have, which is Jesus Christ. Good leaders keep their eyes on Jesus. That means you keeping your eyes on the Word of God. You reading the Word of God. You doing what the Word of God says. That a good leader is kept is by keeping their eyes on Jesus. You're not focusing on everything else, but other than the Word of God and what Jesus is telling you to do. And then in Daniel 6:10, it was saying he prayed 3 times a day, just as he had always done.
Amen.
The words and action of a good leader are consistent. Daniel was vocal about his faith in God, even in a pagan land, and his action is backing that up. That means, you know, a good leader are consistent. When you start seeing stuff all out of place, no togetherness, everybody going their separate way, that's not being a good leader. That, you know, chaos, that ain't what God wants. That is not what God wants. And
you know what?
Go ahead.
A good leader also tends to the flock. I think, you know, I really saw really what God was saying to us in David. David was a keeper of the sheep. He kept the sheep. The story when Jesus told us, well, what if one of the sheep gets lost? God not go and find that one sheep? and mostly everybody you see that God chose to be a leader was a keeper of the sheep.
That's right.
You remember Jesus said the hireling does not care for the sheep, but the shepherd cares
for the
sheep.
That's right.
And what did David say before he went to go fight Goliath? I was keeping the sheep, and a bear came and a lion came, and they were trying to take one of the sheep from me. And I went and I fought them, and I brought back that sheep.
That's right.
And that's a leader. You fight for the people and you bring them back into the flock. You pray for them. You fast for them. You know, you worship for them. You do everything that you humanly can, physically, spiritually. You do everything you can to get that sheep back into the flock. You don't just sit back and say, oh, well, you know, they done gone astray and it's sin. And, well, you know, God did. No. The shepherd is supposed to be keeping the flock, which means if something's wrong with one of my sheep, if one of them are missing, if something's wrong with the leg, I know something's wrong with the leg because I'm always in the flock tending to the sheep.
Mm-hmm. And that is so true. And when we think about it, I know we've been in the body of Christ in places where we have seen things happen with the sheep and the shepherd, one or two go, you know, you don't know where they went. Nobody seen, nobody heard from them. And the shepherd is unconcerned or either he's scattering the flock. And that's not what God wants us to do. He wants us to hold together the sheep he have given us. He wants us to teach them, nurture them, love them, care for them. Something happened to them, they wounded, band them up, go pray for them, take them to the scripture, to the word of God. Bandage them up, bring them back on in. Because, you know, it's so true, just like, you know, when David went out for the one sheep. And if more ministers throughout the country would do that, where the sheep are leaving every week from different bodies of Christ throughout the world. And if they just take a moment, let me find out what happened. Because this one of my flock is gone. I need to go out and find out where did they went, what happened. And then when the body of Christ tell the people to leave for no apparent reason, you know, that's bad on them because they get into the mindset of every body of Christ, every church they go to is the same.
Yeah.
And it's not. So you're going to find good leaders. Ain't going to find bad leaders. You're going to find, you know, those that's in good leadership. And we just have to continue on praying for the leaders everywhere that God will bring them together and show them, you know, like we were saying about their action, you know, accept the responsibility for their action. You know you did something that was not of God. Accept it. Repent, pick up, and go on. Because, you know, it's so many, I meet people in the walks of life each and every day for what I do, outreach, and trying to fix, you know, finding out when people, as I talk to them, well, they don't want to go back to church or they don't want to go here. Well, why? What's wrong? What happened? They was hurt. And, you know, talking in a week's time to people, you'll be surprised, and I know you probably won't be surprised because you're a pastor, how many people are wounded by the hurt in the people that's in the body of Christ that don't even pick up a phone to see if they're sick. You know, I didn't see so-and-so, a brother so-and-so. And like the young man, I do prison ministry. The young man was singing the other night in the prison, the song you've heard about the old man that wanted to sing in the choir just because he was old. They didn't want him to sing in the choir because his voice was cracked. But, you know, I kept thinking about that song as he was singing it. You know, how a whole church went almost a week, and then the pastor finally said, well, have y'all seen that old man? Well, if he was a deacon on your deacon board, why haven't you called the old man?
Yes.
And if the old man was a member of your church, I'm just using psychology on this now, and if the old man was a member of your church sitting on the front pew, you mean you didn't take time out or another person didn't take time out from their busy schedule to see where the man died by himself from where the song went? If you really listen to the words and put it in action for today. That's why I was using that. And when he was singing that, that thing went to just prickling my heart there in the prison because if I miss somebody one Sunday, I'm calling when I get home. Is everything okay? Did something happen? Did you have to work today? Something like that, you know. But to go from the song like a week. And then what got me when they're saying he had to sing from the heavenly choir when they heard the boy. Okay, that means that man evidently had left the church because if you didn't know where the man was, that means you didn't even speak a word over the deacon in the church for the funeral. You know, I went to going further in the Word of God with that song.
Yes.
And, you know, we have to be so careful when we talk to the sheep. We
yes.
can't talk to them no any kind of way, act or any kind of way. We can't be out in front Sister so-and-so, brother so-and-so, and acting one way, and we get down the street when we just act all outlandish and stuff, because God is looking down on that. How can you be a leader?
Yes.
24/7 and not leading. Like you say, it's not that you packing a Bible in your hand every day, but people ought to be able, I can remember as a child coming up where we could pass and look at a man and woman of God, and they may not have no Bible, didn't have a suit on, but we knew those people, light shine, we know that was a pastor. That was an
yes.
evangelist. We knew
yes.
that. Nobody didn't have nothing branded on their clothes, on their chest,
yes.
on their arm, on no tattoos and all that. Saying who, but we knew from reading and studying the Word of God who the men and women of God of old was way back. You know, now
yes.
you have to sit down and wonder when you see people. Oh,
yes.
He's a pastor. He's a deacon. She an evangelist. You know, then
yes.
when you hear, you know, I mean, I know you know that for yourself. You say,
yes.
ah, it's something about that scenario. There's something that's just not jiving right.
Right. Yes,
when,
Lord.
You know, when you hear him say some things out of their mouth, you got to be so careful what you say and how you say it, because you will
yes.
wound sheep for a lifetime.
Yes. And you know what? That's
mm-hmm.
how they wound them. That is how they wound them. Because they're not, like Jesus was saying, when he said the hireling, when the danger comes, they going to
mm-hmm.
run. They're running for their life. They don't care nothing about them sheep.
Mm-hmm.
They're not trying to save. I'm trying to save myself.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to save you by saving me. And if you alive when I come back, you know, we're going to be a family again. It's basically what that situation was saying. But you get a full understanding of, if I leave the flock then, and you're the shepherd, if you were actually concerned about me, you would have called to see where I were,
yeah, you
what
know.
Happened to me, like you were saying.
Mm-hmm.
If the people in the flock really cared, if they were really following God's word and living that lifestyle that they so-called always like to quote and paraphrase
mm-hmm.
all the time, and, you know, we like to say great stuff and, you know, look all beautiful and wonderful
mm-hmm.
and all that other mess.
Mm-hmm.
If we were really who we claim we are, when somebody leaves the flock, we would call them, like you said. We would
mm-hmm.
go by their house.
There
we would send them a card. You know, we would send them maybe a gift or something. We would go and see what's happening and actually be concerned
mm-hmm.
instead of doing what people do. They wound the sheep by, oh, well, where you been? Well, why you wasn't in church? Well, why you left the church?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, see, you back in your sin. You in your
mm-hmm.
lifestyle. You ain't
mm-hmm.
living right.
Mm-hmm.
You done left the past.
Mm-hmm.
What, you done got another church? What, you went to another church now? Oh, see, you ain't with the flock no more? Oh, you done went over there to Bethel Baptist? Well, why you ain't over here at AME? Well,
mm-hmm.
why you not? Oh, you a Protestant now? Oh, well, why you over there? See, what? That's
mm-hmm.
not godly. None of
that's
that
right.
mess is godly. None of that mess is anything that Jesus ever did or said. None of that mess has anything to do with righteousness and holiness. That's
okay.
all flesh.
That's right.
If I'm concerned about you, I care about what's happening to you, and I'm going to come to you in a way that is approachable. I'm not approachable. I'm attacking you with all of that fleshly mess.
That's right. That's right. That is.
I'm condemning you for not being here when, who knows, God may have said, get up out of that place and go into a place where that has a fruitful ground.
That's right.
I don't know what God's talking to you and telling you, but
mm-hmm.
I'm going to put my mouth on it. I'm all in the flesh.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to put my mouth on it, and I don't know. What did David say? Even when Saul was pursuing him, and he had a chance to actually kill Saul, he was right there over him. He could have killed him. What did David say to his servant when the servant said, give me one chance, and I hit him with this spear, and I promise you I won't need a second time to do it.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that's bold. That's confident.
Yes,
he said, look, I'm going to kill him the first time around. You ain't
yes.
going to have to worry about a second time. This man will be dead because he sought your life. And what did David say to his own servant who under him, you will not touch God's anointed.
Yes.
and not be blamed. God will touch him. God will do this or that or the other, but I'm not going to do anything to him.
That's right.
And so that's how we end. We take our own flesh and our own mess, and people got to be careful because you're not looking at the scripture correctly. What does the scripture say? Out of the abundance of the heart. The mouth speaks. And so when people become wounded, they're not even looking at what the scripture said. God is revealing to you who these people really are, not what they claim from their mouth, who they really are. Because out of the abundance of their heart is coming this crap out of their mouth to you.
That's right.
About why you ain't here and what you need to be doing and how you done left the flock and how you ain't, you know, you ain't in the in crowd no more and how we going to outcast you now and how we ain't going to talk to you no more and you can't be in our little social groups and all that other mess. That came from the heart. That's what you really felt on the inside, not the stuff you were saying you felt and, oh, hallelujah, glory to God, thank you, Jesus. Not that mess, because it's mess. If you ain't in the right place with God, it's mess. He ain't hearing that at all.
And that is, like you said, that is flesh, because I notice where people leave a ministry and they go to another ministry. The people at the former ministry, it's like they're not allowed to talk that other person, or they treat that other person wrong, or either when they left the ministry or they left with a letter or saying what God has said. Who are we in the flesh to say that God didn't tell them that season there was up? You know, a lot of times I hear people say, well, my season was up there. God sent me somewhere else. Well, unless God told you specifically that sheep season was up with you, you have to take that up with God. And so many people are wounded, like you say, from the fleshly things that's spoken out of the mouth that hurt people for a lifetime. I overheard someone speaking the other day of a person that passed away that they don't feel they were saved. They wasn't going to church anymore because they had been sick. The preacher, the deacon, nobody at the church ever went by the people house to check on them. They didn't go by to serve them the Lord's Supper. And I'm thinking, if that person was in church and got down where they couldn't make it to church in an electric wheelchair, you know, and you didn't even call that person, you didn't go by and give them communion, you didn't pray with them, even if by phone, if you didn't have a call. You know, you think about that, how the sheep, and we think about how many people that's walking around lost today. And they'll tell you that I used to go to church. I was raised in church. My parents took me to church, or my grandparents took me to church. But the pastor said this, or the pastor done this, or the pastor talked about me over the pulpit. You know, all these kind of things. I mean, I'm hearing this when I'm out outreaching and ministering with people, you know. You know, come on in to church. You know, God, you know, let God handle that. But your soul need to be saved. You don't know when God is going to require you in the judgment. You want to get it right. Ask for forgiveness. Right. Repent, you know, and pick yourself up. Read the word of God. Do what the word say. Because somebody else error don't mean you got to keep erring. And, you know, leaders going to have to sit back with so many churches in the body of Christ every Sunday, every during the week. They're wondering where the people are, where the people are flocking to mega churches, or they feel they can hide in the woodwork of the building. But the church is within them. They're just in a building. They have to come out of that building and minister to others. And it's time out for all this. It's good to have a beautiful Ephesus, chandeliers and all that. I'm not going to knock that. But when it comes down to it, even in the word of God, all those said that I prophesied, I healed, all this in your name, and God said, depart from me, workers of iniquity. You know, you have to think about that, even with leaders and leadership.
Yeah.
What are you scattering your flock?
Yes.
Are you going out to get them back? Find out what happened. Why was they wounded?
Yes.
And, you know, new Christians and new believers coming in the church, they are babes coming in Christ, and you have to treat them like that. You can't. They just came in, haven't gotten baptized, haven't received the Holy Ghost. You done say something, and they see you. They say, well, I can stay out in the street because I get more love and understanding from the people in the street than I get from the body of Christ. They treat me like I got leprosy. If I'm sitting here because I'm not dressed like them or look like them, they're going to get up, move to the other side, or go to passing notes.
Yeah. And you know what?
Huh?
That is why we have so many denominations.
There
that
you
is
go.
Why we have so many gangs. That is why we have lesbianism and homosexuality.
Yes.
That is why we have so many sinners in the earth, because people want to be accepted, they want to belong, they want to be comfortable, and you got too many people telling them how to go, where to go, when to go, what to do, when to get back, how fast to do it, run with your right leg tied behind your back and your left arm up and singing hallelujah and hopping on one foot and winking with your left eye and all of this mess.
Yes.
That's why you got so many people like that.
That's right.
They want exception. And where are they going to get it from? If I can't be accepted by you, then I'm going to go where I am accepted.
There you go.
And 9 times out of 10, if I'm not accepted by you, the place that I go to be accepted by is not going to be the right place for me.
That's right.
And that's how they will you. You know, when you fishing and you throw out that reel, you're trying to catch a certain type of fish.
That's
well, you know, every fish doesn't like the same bait. So I can't fish with certain bait to get other fish. I got to have the right type of bait to get that fish. And so that bait then is acceptance. That bait is listening to you. That bait is telling you I understand you. That bait is being, you know, not real compassion, but, you know, pretending to be compassionate and liking you and loving you. But that's the bait.
Yes.
That's where deception comes in at.
That's
I can't
right.
deceive you unless I lie to you.
Mm-hmm.
Because if I tell you the truth, I won't deceive you by telling you the truth.
That's
you know
right.
the truth. So I have to lie. So that bait goes out there, well, ooh, you know, just come in here. You'll be accepted. You'll be loved. You'll be part of the group. And that's how they wheel people in because they went somewhere where they were supposed to be accepted, where they were supposed to be shown love and kindness and compassion, and they didn't get it there. And then they go over to this place that they should not be at all. And that's where the people say, you know what, don't worry about them. We got your back. We love you. We your family. We'll do this and that. And that's where they plant their feet into that bad ground. Because they were not accepted in the place where they should have been accepted.
That's right. And, you know, I see that daily. And my heart go out to the people and to those in leadership, because you got to treat God's people with love.
Yes.
With understanding, with wisdom. You know, give them, you know, let them. Give them scriptures. Give them what God have taught you. Share it with them. Don't think that it's all for me. Like I pray for two, me, myself, and I, and no more. Oh, we have a caller that come on the air. Hold on a moment. Good morning, caller. Welcome to Joy and Peace Outreach.
Good morning.
Well, how are you doing?
Good, yourself?
Bless. Well, we're so happy to have you on, Minister Tanya from Tulsa, Oklahoma.
Hey, man, sorry about being a little late, but...
Oh, that's all right. We have a pastor on from Miami, Florida, Pastor Valence, and she's on, and we've been just going on in Jesus' name talking about leadership and leaders. You have anything you would like to tell us today? Because we were talking about the qualification of a good leader, leadership, and just a while ago we was talking on how the sheep are being scattered throughout the nation from churches, you know, and how they're being wounded and how people want to go to church, but because it was hurt so bad by church folks, or by leaders, them in authority, they say, you know, they have wounded the sheep so bad where They don't want to go to church, and they figure the church, we know, the body of Christ is the hospital.
Mm-hmm.
And if they can't go to the body of Christ to the hospital and get healed
mm-hmm.
from their wounds,
mm-hmm.
they're going to turn and go to the street, and then we wonder why they're out there on drugs, why they're in prostitution, why they're lesbians, why they homosexual and stuff, because we have thrown them out there to the wolves.
Mm-hmm. Oh, no, that's true.
Yeah, so, you know, we're just talking on various things what's happening in the body of Christ and the qualities and the good qualities of a good leader.
Mm-hmm.
And in Joshua 1 and 9, Joshua was talking about be strong and courageous, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go.
Mm-hmm.
And here a good leader shows courage based on the assurance of God's presence. And as I had read in Joshua a little bit, Joshua was a man of humility.
Mm-hmm.
And before he was a leader, he was willing to serve.
Mm-hmm.
We was talking about that earlier. You have to serve. Be a good servant.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yeah.
And even as a leader, he was willing to serve.
Mm-hmm.
He was a man of faith and trusted in God.
Mm-hmm.
And he demonstrated that when sent out to spy out the land.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and it was just different topic. But if you want to share something with us, Minister Tanya, feel free.
Well, what kind of mindset, the scripture, but what kind of mindset, the scripture about how we're supposed to pray for our leaders and one who have a rule and authority over us, we got to keep them in prayer also, too. We got to
mm-hmm.
keep them in prayer to the fact where they'll be led and guided by the Spirit of God. It's like a bit of help and teach us the other word on a weekly basis. Yes, it's what comes to mind.
Mm-hmm.
We have to pray for our leaders and authority who have
true.
Ruled over us. We got to keep them in prayer. We got to keep them covered in prayer.
Mm-hmm.
That we have to keep them in prayer that God would lead them and guide them by His Spirit and His anointing and guide them by His power. So we got to keep
mm-hmm.
them up in prayer. You know, that's very
mm-hmm.
really important.
That is so true. That is so true.
And then also, in order for a person to be a good leader, they're going to have to be a follower first. In order for them to be a leader, they're going to be a follower first.
Mm-hmm.
How you say, well, I get to serve and be obedient to the things of God.
Mm-hmm.
And then once you start being obedient to the things of God, and then God can be able to elevate a person in a leadership position because he knows they're going to be obedient, know they have been serving. And then in order to be a good leader, you have to be a follower first.
Yes, yes. That is so true. That is so true. And that's what we were discussing today, leadership and the qualities of a good leader. And we had covered quite a bit today, which I thank God. I should have took out more time today on this here, but we could continue on talking on this if y'all would like to. When we go off the air, we have 2 minutes. It's like 2 minutes. But this is a good topic because I be praying and asking God, what can I talk about that would help
mm-hmm.
the body of Christ
yeah.
and people that's listening in? I don't want to get on here with no junk, no nothing.
Mm-hmm.
Like we
yeah.
were saying, we got to let our light shine. We as leaders.
Mm-hmm.
And we have to be doing what God say do. That way we can have others that follow that pattern they like. I got a call on yesterday from a elect lady, a first lady at a church. And she told me, she said, you used to call me every morning at 5:00 for prayer. You always up at 3 and 4. And she said, I want to thank you so much for that. She said, because don't you know, I go to work, but still enough, that starts me with my prayer time, with God, praying, reading
mm-hmm.
my word.
Mm-hmm.
And she said, I'm able to have that time with God. And I just thanked her for calling me yesterday, telling me that because I was doing a line through my church. And
right.
When God moved me from that to something else in another area, I was hoping somebody else would pick up the ball and carry it on. But this lady called me and told me, she said, by you coming, I would call different people, get their name and stuff, and just call and pray with them until most of them
right.
was at work. And then different times they would call me on their job where they're having problems on the job, different things, and I automatically go to praying with them. And a gentleman called me yesterday to sell something on the phone. I end up, he say, I need prayer. I end up praying for the man on the phone. Didn't know who he was. And then he ended up praying for me. And I said, you know, you don't know where God going to place you
mm-hmm.
in somebody's
right.
life in the course of a day that you can open the windows of heaven. God will open up the windows of heaven. But when you open yourself up to God to be used, when you say yes to God, that means you said yes to any and everything that God sent your way. So that means either it was with somebody calling you by phone, calling you by one thing, end up asking for prayer. And, you know, I mean, God is just, oh, he's just so good. And this just, I think I have to do a part two on this here because it's just so good.
Yes.
It is just so good.
Yes. It is, because people need to really, you know, understand how things work.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, as the old saying goes, the reason why you don't have as many people who are good with communication and being a people person is
mm-hmm.
because they haven't been taught and trained how to be people rather.
Mm-hmm.
You have so many people who are taught, okay, be in charge, tell people what to do, instruct them, and that's how they go about in their everyday life.
Mm-hmm.
Let me tell you what to do, instruct you what to do. You get over here, you do it, you shut up, you sit down, you get up, you run over here, you pick up that paper, and if you get back here in less than 5 seconds, you're fired. You know, I mean, that type
mm-hmm.
of mentality breeds more people with that type of mentality.
Mm-hmm.
And so they believe that that's the way you're supposed to treat people. Why? Because they were not taught how to deal with people.
Mm-hmm.
The only thing they were trained to do was to do a job. And that's the problem. Anybody can do a job.
Mm-hmm.
I can hire anybody and I can train anybody to do anything. But not every person was supposed to have that position.
Yeah.
And so we have too many people trying to be chief, and nobody wants to be an Indian.
Yeah, there you go. We
nobody wants to be an Indian.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody wants to be a chief.
Mm-hmm. And we see that in the body of Christ. One scared, one going to do more than the other one, you know. But if God had put you in this here, if you know you're a minister, like I use Minister Tanya, for example, she's a prayer warrior. All she do is open my mouth and go to pray. She know what she don't have to be trying to make like she this and that. She already know what God called her to do. You a pastor. You already know your assignment from God. You ain't got to try to get validation from nobody, because God have already told you from your mother's womb, from Jeremiah, the first chapter, 5-8. That you was already predestined in the womb. You already, when you come here and start knowing yourself, God had already had your makeup, your DNA. You know what you was going to become. And if you deviated from it, it wasn't God's fault, but he maneuvered you back, me, you, and Minister Tanya, to back what we're supposed to do.
That's right.
So, you know, once people, and when leaders got to realize, too, you know you're a leader. God put you in that position. Do what God require of you. Be faithful. Be a servant. First, let your flock see you a servant yourself. You don't mind serving them.
Mm-hmm.
Just because you the leader don't mean you can't serve. But they get their training by watching you. You a good servant, a good follower. They can be too. They see, well, I see my pastor do this. I see my pastor do that. The evangelists do this here, or the minister of music, or whatever, you know, you may have in the body of Christ at the time. But when God have put you in a place, you keep your eyes on Jesus, but you're steadily moving into what God is taking you into. You keep your focus. You show courageous, you know, how to be courageous. And, you know, I guess I go right back to a servant heart. You be that servant, and above all, show love. Because that love will conquer all. You show a person that's been bruised, beaten down, you show them a little bit of love. That you know that you care for them, and they know you care for their soul, their well-being. That would break all them bonds that's been had them chained up and locked up for so many years. Because they see it is people that really do care about the body of Christ. And, you know, a good leader will recognize false teaching and boldly combat it. You know, everybody, you can't go just like you go to a buffet. Everybody can't eat from the buffet. That means the same way in the body of Christ, everybody can't digest everything. But if they're saying what the word of God say, what God say and not flesh say, they can digest it. But too many people like to put flesh up there.
Yeah.
And have the people so combobulated in their minds. But God lead us. Mm-hmm. But God leads
another thing that wounds them is money, and you know that's what we've become about. Money.
Yes. Yes. We know money. You know, you need money to run a ministry. We understand that. But some people will run that into the ground where people really it'll turn them on, even in the body of Christ, on something. But, you know.
It will, because let's say if I call you and I say, you know what, I'm having some problems, and my husband, you know, he's not treating me the way he should, and, you know, I'm under a lot of attack. What I need from you is prayer. But the first thing, before these people can pray for you or do anything for you, can you sow a seed offering or send this or send? I mean, I never heard Jesus say, you know what, I'm not going to pray for you. Unless you sow a seed into God's kingdom. I'm not going to heal you unless you sow a seed into God's kingdom. Jesus freely gave healing. He freely forgave sins. He said, freely as you've been given, freely you give also. And that's why it's important for us as leaders to know who we are, because other people can wound us, which we will then in turn wound them. When Jesus, you know, when he went to John, and John baptized him, and then, you know, the Holy Spirit descended upon him like a dove, and the heavens opened, and God said, this is my son in whom I am well pleased. He was not only doing it for the people to see that he called, accepted, ordained Jesus, he was doing it for Jesus' sake also, so that Jesus could see who he was. I'm accepted, beloved, and established through my Father, not through men, so that when people would reject him, when people would say, well, who is this? Is this not Jesus, the carpenter's son? Is his mother not Mary? Who has ordained him to teach this gospel and be bold and all of this? He could stand firm in what he knew because he knew the Father, because the Father had already confirmed who he was. He didn't need man to confirm him. As people say, oh, well, what pastor did you teach under or learn under or who appointed you into the ministry and all this other mess? God ordains. God appoints. God does all of that stuff that people have now took upon themselves and said, well, if I have not ordained you, then you are not a pastor. You are not a prophet. You are not a prophetess. You are not a preacher. If we don't put you in, and that's what they were saying to Jesus, we have not seen you in the synagogue. We have not seen you up under Gamaliel. We have not seen you learning with the doctors of the law. Who then has told you you can get up here and say this stuff you're saying? Because we didn't tell you can say it. We didn't tell you can go in the synagogue and preach that mess you're preaching, because that's what they called it, mess, blasphemy. We didn't tell you can heal people. We didn't tell you can be sitting out here with these people. We didn't tell you, but you see the problem? We didn't tell you. We didn't instruct you. We didn't inform you. We didn't import you when they're not God.
That's right.
But we keep playing God. If I didn't tell you can be a pastor, you can't be a pastor. Get in the church and, serve, be an usher.
And then that
go ahead. That's what they do.
Did God, like I, you know, when I ask people, they say, well, I say, is that what God told you to do? Or if that's what a man or a woman told you to do? What did God tell you? Who did God tell you were in the body of Christ? What did God tell you to do? And a lot of people wonder why that person not working in the capacity. Why are you going to be a minister of music and you can't sing and can't read a note? Why are you going to be a teacher of a Sunday school over children? You can't stand children and you don't teach. So you need to be placed in positions where, since they want to have titles now, that, you know, some people let titles go over their head. On the way to the prison the other day, a minister was saying, she said, I thank God for being God. She said, whether they call me by my first name, my last name, that's fine with me. She said, but God let me know it's about the work that he sent me to do. It wasn't about the title. I'm being a bishop, being a evangelist, being an apostle, being a pastor, being a minister. She said, long as I'm carrying that word of God, what God says. She said, some people, not everybody, but some people like to take these titles to heart. I heard a minister saying just yesterday, he said, you go to college, they say, well, you don't have this and have that. If you haven't went to biblical school, if you haven't got this paper and you got this paper and you got this paper. He said, you can sit down there with 6 degrees. But if you ain't got the Holy Ghost, okay, all them degrees ain't nowhere, all that learning you got, they ain't taught you how to deliver somebody, how to fight warfare. Mm-hmm. He said, the Holy Ghost is what's going to teach you. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I sit there and I listen to that. And I said, well, wait a minute. You going to school, you getting this, you studying that. And when you come out, a lot of stuff you don't put to action because that's not applying to what you're dealing with. If somebody need to be delivered, like we were saying earlier, from homosexuality, have that book taught you how to deliver that person or have the Holy Ghost taught you? And, you know, some things we have to really sit down and we're rereading that scripture and get an understanding. Because without the Holy Ghost, we got to have that Holy Ghost to be able to, when God healed, his disciples wanted to know, even with them, with him, as long they were, why couldn't they do and perform the miracles that Jesus did? Mm-hmm. Now, y'all help me with that. Now, if he had the Holy Ghost and was anointed from his Father, but the disciples, they couldn't do it. Y'all tell me, why couldn't they do it?
Because they didn't have the power to do it. Because he said, how be it something's coming nothing but by praying and fast. They cannot
all
hear
right.
Because they had a, you know what I'm saying, they were not in a place over God. You know, he said, how be it something's coming nothing but by praying and fast. They cannot do that at a particular time.
That's right. And that's what, if that was for them then, isn't it the same for us, Minister Tanya?
It most definitely. The only way is being believers in Christ, the only way that he will get back to the Father is by the Holy Ghost.
That's right.
We are a spirit. He said they must rest in spirit and in truth. So that's when we caught up by him, by the Spirit of God. We need the Holy Ghost.
That's
He's
right.
Our teacher, our intercessor,
yes,
our counselor, and our advocate. Well, one thing about the Holy Spirit, he played a different role, but then even in that, we need the Holy Spirit because he's going to teach
that's
us
right.
our truth and wisdom through the Word of God.
Amen. You know, we've been off the air. I'm just sharing the other lady. She's gone, the minister.
Oh, she gone now. Okay.
She gone now. Mm-hmm. I see it and clicked off. But I just thank you for coming on. And I said, I need to do this a part two because this was, I mean, the more I got into it,
mm-hmm.
And after she come on, the more, you know, we start sharing
mm-hmm.
about leaders, the leader, and being a leader, being a good follower, being a servant of God.
Mm-hmm.
And from David, from Hezekiah, from Joshua.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I just thank God because, and like, you know, you did say, you know, we have to pray for our leaders,
mm-hmm.
which is so true. We got to keep them lifted up in prayer.
Mm-hmm.
Even when them leave the church wounded. And I was telling about this song that one of the guys was singing in the prison the other night
mm-hmm.
about I don't know if you had come on and heard this one. It was talking about the old man that wanted to sing in the choir.
Mm-mm.
And the choir director didn't want him to sing in the choir because he was old and because his voice was cracked.
Mm.
But now, I'm showing you, that's what made me thought more on the leader and
mm-hmm.
the leaders and the leadership in the church, a body of Christ.
Mm-hmm.
When you really dissect that song, it's a good song, but you listen to the words closely.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't know they was asking the leader, the pastor of that church, evangelist or apostle, bishop, whoever it was,
mm-hmm.
if you put your mind way down in the listening to the word, the preacher should have been the first one when he noticed the old man had missed church one Sunday, the second Sunday. He should have inquired what happened to the old man.
Mm-hmm.
Second, if this old man was a deacon on your deacon board, why wasn't you aware that the old man had passed? That means you didn't do the old man's funeral at your church.
Jesus.
You know, when I was sitting there listening to that song, God took me so far into the Word of God on just simple things, listening to that song. And I mean, that boy could sing that song.
Mm.
He was singing that thing from his heart. He went to telling us how he was, how he was saved and how they took him. I thought he was going to say to the river because he was a young man. He mm-hmm. said he went. They took him down on that dirt road to the creek and baptized him. Ooh, girl, and that's what Pastor Ann was saying the other day, how I could write about the different testimonies those people been giving me. Girl, that's when I really started writing down then.
For real, I know that's right.
And, you know, I mean, I think I went beyond just hearing about the old man. Okay, that old man, he was an old man, wanted to sing in the choir. And I know you done heard that song, but he started singing from the heavenly choir, where God didn't tell him he was too old or his voice was cracked. And we as leaders, when we miss somebody from church, when I'm even telling you, when I miss somebody at church, if I got their number, I'll be calling around if I got to call the pastor. Do you have Mr. So-and-so's number, Miss So-and-so? Because I done missed them in church two Sundays. I figure one Sunday if they're working, they may have to work. But this Sunday I didn't see them. Let me call. A young lady that left the church before I went on the air today, I sent her an email. And she sent me back, say, for God to bless you and Frederick. I'm wondering what happened to her. She was wounded. Okay, I want you in the fellowship. But if God sent you somewhere else, you know, I don't have a problem with that. But I still do miss you. I started calling her to the second Sunday. I didn't see her. Calling her on her job.
Because people don't really understand, even the church hurt me, that is a strong hurt. You know what I'm saying? Especially getting hurt by the Christian for me. That's a strong hurt there. I mean, that really is.
That's right. And, baby, when you've been hurt, like I told the pastor that just went off the air, I said, baby, when you've been hurt by the church folk, you've been hurt because that's a hurt.
Hold on. Let me say this. Hold on for me. Hold on.
Okay.
I bet I'm back at that.
Okay.
But yeah, but some people don't understand. I mean, how to be the worst type of house in church hurt. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, because a lot of people I'm meeting in the walk of life in the course of a week, how they've been wounded. Those were the sheep that were scattered. And nobody went out to get that one sheep, the leader, the leadership. Nobody went out to bring that one sheep back, find out, can this sheep can be salvaged? Through prayer and the word of God, what do we need to do to salvage, to get the bandaged sheet up, surgery or whatever on it, to bring this sheep back into the fold? If David did it with his sheep, he was the shepherd. When he missed one sheep, he went out for the bear, lion and all. But he went and got his sheep.
He did.
And brought that sheep back. And that's what we as men and women of God help us in a leadership position. We're supposed to find out where's our sheep at. We missed them. And I think about myself that, you know, I continue on coming on the prayer line when I was telling y'all about my legs. And for 2 weeks, I couldn't, yeah, no, nay. Nobody called and say, well, Miss Sadie, how you doing? Is there something we can do? We don't mind coming by and picking up Frederick. We know you can't get out or walk on your leg. And I had a cane and all. But I'm showing you how people are wounded in the church. They're supposed to be loving them. Supposed to be, if they can't go there to the hospital to be bandaged up and healed, is somebody out there in the world going to try to paint them a better picture than at the body of Christ? And there's so many people I know. Even when you pray for people on the line, it's people come to that line calling you for prayer that's been hurt, been wounded, don't know what direction to go in. You still there?
Yes, I'm still here.
Okay. But, girl, I enjoyed that topic today. I thank God.
My pastor had called me. I was on the phone with her for a little bit because she's trying to get some stuff together for my program. If you got to meet with her this weekend, so she was talking about that. I was like, oh, let me get on this line at least for a little bit.
Because I said something must have come up. She couldn't come on the line because no bishop was in the hospital.
So, yeah, how did his surgery go? How's he
doing? I don't know. They supposed to have did it yesterday, and I know he had to lay out. on his back for 12 hours straight, they say.
Mm.
So I was praying they didn't have to do it because they said if they could get his sugar and his blood pressure stabilized, they wouldn't do it.
Mm.
But he hadn't called me. And so I knew it was scheduled for yesterday, so I'm going to call up there in a little while when I get off the line
mm-hmm.
and see, because I know they're not letting him use the phone or no nothing, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And he didn't come on there. He didn't call me, woman of God. Because when I told him I was going to talk about leadership, he was talking about that one day last week. I said, that's my topic for next week, Bishop. But you're in a hospital, so you ain't going to be able to, because they ain't going to let you keep you be on that computer and on that phone. You got to do whatever you can to keep your blood pressure and your sugar level down.
Yes.
So I don't know what's causing it. You know what's going on in the body.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm praying, God. And it costs so much. They charge you $15, $20 almost to park over there in the medical center.
To park?
To park, $15.
You are playing.
No, ma'am. You in the medical center, baby, where the best hospitals in the world is, the medical center, baby. You ain't going there for no $2 or $3 unless you run into the outpatient little office and hand them a piece of paper and come back. But, baby, it's starting from $8, $10, and $15 to park.
That's just highway robbery.
Baby, that's why people catch the train to get somebody to drop them off when they go into the medical center. So that's why I call a lot of people if I can't get down there with somebody else.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, ma'am.
Oh, no, that's how it robbed.
Yeah, I'm got to go on the other end of town when I get off talking with you. I'm already dressed to pick up the signs and stuff for the church. But see, that's being a servant.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That doing what I have, you know,
mm-hmm.
what was asking me to do.
Yeah.
He can't go. So I'm his arm and his leg today. His car went down and something happened to the Mercedes and he just had a transmission put in the Mercedes, and it wasn't 6 months ago. And there's something wrong, so I don't know what the men didn't do. But they're supposed to have picked it up today.
Mm.
But thank God for Miss Dodge Nitro out there.
mm-hmm.
I plan on getting up and going on and coming on back.
Because
mm-hmm. I'm supposed to do a show this week.
Hmm? Are you okay there?
A vendor show where I sell my towers and hangers because I need to come back and get some of that stuff made up.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yep.
And it looks like I can't get warm. It's still cold here, but I'm going to got some warm clothes on. I'm not going to put some boots on or put my other little shoes on.
Well, the sun is bringing me thousand more little ones because I'm still in
the bed. I see the sun a little bit over here, but baby. I guess I'm in these older houses. It's colder.
Mm-hmm.
Excuse me, because I'm not in a brick on wood frame house, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So, but to God be the glory. Mm-hmm. But I enjoyed the prayer line again this morning. I thank God for the women coming on the line.
Yeah. Mm.
So, but I'm going to let you go, and I'm going to get on off of here and get on the other end of town.
Go ahead and get my day started because I'm still laying up in the bed. It's time to get up now.
Thank you for coming on sharing with me.
Even this morning before I received my college, I tried to read the titles, look up the leaders, but I didn't really find a real leader in my Bible, my dictionary.
Uh-huh.
I didn't find a real leader like I wanted to. I'm trying to look and find some stuff this morning before I come to the line. So at least be prepared, you know. I'm going to come to the line again. Not knowing nothing. I got to do my work.
Jeremiah, Matthew, 2 Chronicles, 1 Chronicles, 1 Corinthians.
Yeah.
The different
so,
ones.
Okay, what you want to teach on next week? The same thing or some more? Are you going to add some more to this one from next week? For next week?
Next week we're talking about the tongues, I believe.
Oh, for real?
Yes. Wait, hold on. Let me tell you. Let me look at my schedule. Hold on. I think it's next week it's the tongues. I think it is that way. Let me check. I ain't going to take but a few minutes.
Okay.
Let me go on. My blog talk. No. Okay. Let me see. Okay, my show page. Let's see. Come on down here. Let me wait till they get up here. Okay, no, I don't want to go back there. Come on, take me back. Okay. I don't want to go to the switchboard. I want to go back. Okay. Okay. I'll take him out. Put him out. Okay, let me see. I'm going to tell you in a few minutes. Okay. One Piece leadership. Okay, come on, I'll do that. Tell me today.
So I got everything scored away for my program now. Praise the Lord.
Oh, praise God.
So it's going to be on the 30th, the end of this month. So I got my speakers and everything scored away with this.
All
so
right,
I got my little
right.
menu where we're going to have them. Just get everything together. So, yeah.
Last Saturday in this month.
Yes, ma'am. Off on the 30th. Yes, ma'am.
All right. That'll work, girl.
My prayer conference. Yeah, get my baby going. Yeah. All I'm right. excited to see God come in, move and show up and show out.
Yes, Lord.
And keep that in prayer to God bless my speakers.
If I was moving around, as they say, if I was moving around the country like I used to, girl, I would be right on that fly in. It would be nothing, girl, for me to throw one of them credit cards up there and fly. But, girl, they almost want you to strip naked for to get in there, charging you so much for each piece of luggage when you fly now.
I know.
Next week is the power of the tongue.
All right, now the power of the tongue. All right,
death and life are in the power of the tongue,
that's
and they who indulge it shall eat the fruit of it. Proverbs 18:21.
That's it. Mm-hmm. Oh yeah, that's a good one. Now,
that's next week.
All right, if I could start early on that for real, have myself together, but it talk with you. Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I'm just enjoying this. I'm just gonna have my own little. I'm just gonna get back on there, have my own little line going on in the book. I just enjoy this with you, not coming over, struggling every week now.
I enjoy having you on here, girl.
It's just been a blessing. I like watching. I knew when I first did Miss Ann, also they were scared, but being with you now, I ain't scared no more.
Uh-huh.
I'm gonna do my homework.
All
I can come
right.
on and discuss.
All right, I know you can do it, girl. I know you can do it.
Yeah, I gotta get ready to preach this Sunday morning. I'm like, oh Lord,
uh-huh.
I taught Sunday school last Sunday. I gotta preach Sunday morning. I'm like, oh Father.
Uh-huh.
But they said I did a good job because, like I said, this month we're talking about for Sunday school. This month we're talking about the different types of covenants. I talked about the Abraham covenant last Sunday. So they don't show the blessing, please. I told them that was God. Cause I didn't get that until the day before that Saturday night.
Uh-huh.
I told myself early was not giving me nothing. Like, okay, Father, you're going to put this together now. Come on now, trust me. But, yeah, that's how he gave me. He came to me after the last, after the 11th hour, call it, had 11th hour, man. This is the
now
last
you gonna
minute.
Come on, what I'm going to do, I'm going to go ahead and put my time to be for an hour next week. Let me do it right now.
Yeah.
If you're going to come on, and this pastor from,
mm-hmm.
unless she didn't come on, when I went to talk about the Holy Ghost, that's
mm-hmm.
when the phone hung up. I sure hope she got the Holy Ghost.
I hope she is being a pastor. Now she needs the Holy Ghost for real.
But I know that phone went down so quick. I said,
he didn't touch the nerve.
People
don't understand how often. People don't understand how often it is. Because I mean, even myself reading the book what I've been reading. Every time I get in my car now, when I start driving.
Mm-hmm.
I'm praying up in the Holy Ghost. I'm just praying up in the Spirit. I just be straight going forth up in the Spirit. I don't know what I'm praying about.
That's good. Because that's what Bishop Barnett told me to do it. He said, do it every day.
Mm-hmm.
He said, do it more and more. More and more.
Like I said, for people, last time I talked with the book, like I said, I got two friends, Deborah and my other best friend. I've been telling her, because like I said, my other friend, she believed it was she to get to, like I said, she didn't read about it. She just ran for the comment. I tell you,
mm-hmm.
And like I see, you have to just trust God and stay with God on. Because I know the other. I think it might be last Friday. It says my boss is like a religious. Because one thing about him, at one point he was a pastor at least about for 30 years right away. But he don't do that anymore. But he was a pastor 30 years. So I just talked to him, and asked him about it. Because I told him I had two friends who is desiring to see the Holy Ghost, but they just can't speak. But he just told me how you already got it. Just thank God for it. I think about it all the time how the Bible said how we can decree a thing that you know
mm-hmm.
and it shall be established. I mean, just don't ask no more. Just thank God for it, that I received it. You just open your
mm-hmm.
mouth and start praising God. I believe in open your mouth, start praising God. It's gonna come.
Mm-hmm.
Cause like I said, I mean, even if the Holy Spirit he already on the inside of it, but the only thing that doesn't know how to do is tap into that anointing.
Mm-hmm.
Tap into it because I mean, even once you come into salvation, hey, it is already there off on the inside of us.
Mm-hmm.
And not only that, how the Bible said it is a gift. To any believer who wants to receive it. So that's for anybody who wants to receive it by faith.
Mm-hmm.
Everything we give
mm-hmm.
from the Spirit of God is by faith.
Yes.
It took me a while before I received it. I did not get it at first. It took me a while. One thing with me, because I was raised up in a Baptist church, they didn't really think that's that important. But then I know me. I want more from God, so I had to go out to other places and start give me some up because I wanted more from God, and I knew He had more for me. But even before I received it, He had me to go through for the whole Bible,
uh-huh.
from Genesis to Revelation, before I received the gift. He had me
uh-huh.
study the whole Bible. I had to make sure so I know what I'm asking for. He sure did have me go through from the whole Bible, from Genesis
mm-hmm.
to Revelation. I had to study up on the Holy Ghost, Holy Spirit.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. We just
finished reading the whole Bible too. I said,
mm-hmm.
God, I want more of it.
That's
more
what
of it, Lord. That's
what
I want.
My prayer is to know God. Like I said, I'm finna do my study right now. I want the word to know how to know God even more, because that's my desire and my prayer. Lord, I want to know
mm-hmm.
even more. I want His power and the fullness of His resurrection. I want to know. I want the fullness of His Godhead. I mean, I want to know Him.
Mm-hmm.
I want to know God. I'm going to know a person. I have to spend some time with Him, fellowship, commune with Him, spend time with Him.
Mm-hmm.
Get in a place with Him, Lord. I want to hear You, God, because a lot of people always get caught up on the outside.
Mm-hmm.
Lord, speak to me for me, God. You know what I'm saying?
Yes, what I'll be asking. And the girl called me from the bookstore and told me my book is here.
Oh, is it?
Yeah, I got
look at God. Look, I came before 2 weeks. Look at God, because
uh-huh.
my book is the bomb.
Uh-huh. And I said, oh, gee, Pastor, and asked me to go on the other side of town, and I was planning on going on that end of town today, but I may still end up getting, because I got a tank of gas, so I still may end up leaving going on that end, because it's two different areas of town.
Mm-hmm.
Good peace, you know. But
mm-hmm.
Praise God, she called me yesterday and told me it was in. I said, oh, praise God, and I done bumped my program up for next week to 60 minutes.
Okay.
And I'm going to call the pastor there in Miami and tell her how I appreciate her coming on the show.
Yeah, do
mm-hmm.
that. Yes,
mm-hmm.
she sounds pretty good. Yeah. Okay, so is she the same one who was on that last week with us?
Yeah, she was on that last week with us.
Okay, so what's her name again, Pastor? Who?
Pastor Baranzi.
Baranzi?
Uh huh.
Oh, okay, then, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, she sounds pretty good though. Yes.
Uh huh.
See, God is really just using you all across the country, just going all over the world, pushing the word through the computer. That's all right.
I need
to get my computer back up. Either give me another one or something, so I can get back
uh-huh.
on that myself. Cause I miss my computer. I'd be going to go to the library.
But I want a new one after they took the other one. But I said, God, I thank You. I don't have to be in nobody's pulpit, cause all it is a pool with a pit on it. It's just pulling you to the pit.
Jesus. All right. Jesus.
Woo, look up pool and look up pit.
Mm.
And if you ain't careful, everybody won't run to the pulpit.
Mm-hmm.
But you got to be careful when you get behind the podium.
Come on now, you
it ain't easy as you think it is.
Believe me, it is not. It's not, because I'll never forget. When I very first bought my very first memory, I will not forget. I was on VBI at this particular time, Miss Sadie.
Mm-hmm.
And I had a class on Friday morning at 8 o'clock.
Mm-hmm.
I was to meet the Thursday night by 9 or 9:30 before 10 o'clock. When I tell you, the president, I woke me up out of my sleep by 10, by 2, 2:30 in the morning. I had to get up and start writing. My very first message, whatever, preached on, back then my pastor used to call it, was a labor's message. I came out of Acts 19, 1 through 7. I talk about the Holy Spirit. That's my very first message.
Mm-hmm.
I broke them down as the Holy Spirit is been our teacher, our counselor,
mm-hmm.
our guide, our comforter, and our advocate. I broke them all down. I defined them all, told what they all mean. I put it all together. That was my very first message, whatever preached on.
Mm-hmm.
He woke me up out of my sleep on that one.
Mm-hmm.
I had to get up and start writing one. I'm telling about it. I ain't never experienced God's presence like that never before. He woke me up out of my sleep. I'm sleeping. I ain't preaching or whatever. The crazy part about it, he gave me the first of the month. I had to bring the message to the end of the month.
Uh-huh.
So he pretty much already put together. But like I said, it took me a while. So like I said, I didn't get the scripture until the week of. He told me to use Acts 19, 1 through 7.
Uh-huh.
Then my very first message about the function of the Holy Spirit. Who was the Holy Spirit? The function of the Holy Spirit.
Mm-hmm. And I remember when I preached mine, said this church was Proverbs
mm-hmm.
3:5.
Mm-hmm.
Trusting in the Lord with
yes.
all your heart and lean not to your understanding
mm-hmm.
by Him being my provider. But then I had to go back when He told me when I was at this church, well, after I had preached, He said, this is not your first sermon. Your first sermon is when you preach your father's funeral.
Because
I did my dad's funeral.
Oh, you did? Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Not knowing that's what I was doing.
Mm-hmm.
I'm telling you, I didn't even realize. When I had the preacher told me, Miss Ada, all you had to do was give your text or your topic. I said, huh? I mean, I didn't even know.
Mm.
I was going to the cemetery. It was in another city
mm-hmm.
to bury my dad. And I kept asking the lady that died. I used to tell y'all about her, Miss Russo.
Mm-hmm.
And I told her, I said, Miss Russo,
things would be coming to me as I'm driving. Why did I say that? Well, why did I say? She said, "Girl, that was the Holy Ghost." I said, "Ma'am." I said, "Well, why did I say that?" She said, "Baby, you preached your dad." And so I was looking at the folk, wondering why the folk wasn't saying nothing, doing the people just looking at me and all. And I said, "Well, if anybody would like to say anything," and they finally said, "Well, Miss Sadie, you done said it all."
Mm.
And I'm thinking, I mean, he had done took me in the Holy Spirit that I didn't even know. I had done preached my dad a funeral. The pastor was sitting, the man that was going to preach the funeral was sitting right there.
Mm.
The man got up and gave words of encouragement or something.
Mm-hmm.
And I got up and went to tell them, and the main thing I remember telling them, don't judge the book by its cover. Learn how to open up the book and read it. Y'all sitting here judging me. For some reason I said that. I say, but you need to pick the book up, read it. That way you know what the book say.
Mm-hmm.
I can remember that. And the only thing else I remember when I was driving, going all the way up to East Texas with for my daddy's, the rest of the, you know, for the family that was up there.
Mm-hmm.
And they beat him when they got up there that couldn't travel, was older, like his great anus and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
And, baby, I kept asking Miss Russo to going up and back and forth. I said, "Miss Russo, start, you know, stuff start coming to you. I guess when you start coming down."
Mm-hmm.
And she said, "Baby, that was the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost used you." She said, "You preached your daddy's funeral." And I was wondering why the preacher told me all you need to do was get your own thing you missed giving them with your text.
Mm.
I couldn't tell you today. I knew then.
Mm-hmm.
I don't even remember. It took me so by surprise, girl. I was still wondering, huh? What?
Well, yeah. I'm not
I say, me? Yeah. And another girl, she said, "Miss Sadie, I was there. You preached your daddy's funeral." I said, "I did?"
Mm.
I mean, it just, and that's when the Lord brought it to me, and I went to this other church before where I'm at now.
Mm-hmm.
I preached there, and I preached and trusting in the Lord, and the other one I did was take off the mask.
Mm.
And I didn't know how to tell them women that was in there was hoes and all this other stuff. But I was telling them, take off the mask. And God whipped me because what he had told me and I had written it down, I didn't say it because, you know, flesh. With me, I was like, I couldn't say things out of my mouth, you know, in a congregation. But it was on there what I was supposed to say, where they could have been, they could have come out of the sin. Called, I was to call that spirit out of them, and I didn't do that. I went around and about the way on it.
Mm-hmm.
That's why when God tell me to say something, I'm going to say it.
Because I mean, not only that, for whatever that word is, there could be somebody at peace. There could be a person, the living are either a person here, you know what I'm saying?
Uh-huh.
People don't understand about how much power and authority we have off in our mind. Cause I mean, I think about the same thing, even with Oral Roberts. He told the Lord that he wanted to be home with his wife this Christmas. God called a man home a week before Christmas. He was at home with his wife.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, man, when I heard the last thing, I'm like, man, this man had a much important thought and the power that he told the Lord he wanted to be home with his wife for this Christmas for this year. And God gave him a request.
That's right. Put your request. God. Make it known unto God.
Mm. I'm just like,
there. Ah, Jesus. Mm.
Yes, ma'am. And when I heard Richard say that, that just blessed my father for me for a man that got to have that much power and authority in the spirit realm to tell the Lord what he want like that. I'm like,
that's
Jesus.
Right. And that's what the word says. We have not because we ask
not.
We got to believe what we ask God for.
That's true. I'm like, man.
Yeah. I better let you start your day because me and you go to talk about the word of God and what God said and what old Robert said and what I be saying, what this one said, and go all the way back to what Billy Graham said and what God said. Girl. Billy Long said, "TDJ, God, we be here all day. Be time for you go to work. Let me let you go."
It's about that word.
Girl, when I go to talk about God, girl, I be getting excited. My voice get loud, and I don't be meaning to talk loud. I said, "Lord,
it's just
help me."
Of God. Hey. It's just Jesus. It's all about the Lord now. That's why I tip of the time is to say that they ain't trying to get me off of God. I got to holler at him.
And you know,
I'm on a mission.
I tell people, I know it's more to life than church, but my parents raised me, and my godmother and them, you know, was church-going people. But, I mean, I guess I was one that lived for the word.
Mm-hmm.
I believe what I saw in that Bible.
Mm-hmm.
Even if I deviated on something that I didn't mean to, I went back and asked God to forgive me, you know, because I wasn't quite understanding it maybe then, like I do a whole lot more now.
Mm-hmm.
But, baby, when I be getting into the Word and I be saying, well, if God didn't say it, I said, that's a cliche. That's not in the Word of God. And I told him at the prison the other night, I said, it's a cliche say that it takes a village to raise a child. I said, that's a cliche. That ain't in the Word of God, but it's true. It takes more than just a husband and a wife or the mother to raise a child nowadays. Because children, they doing what they want to do with the parents, without the parents. So, you know, it takes the neighborhood. But when we was coming up, everybody helped it with your children.
That's true.
So I think that's why they got it from, it takes a village to raise a child. Because, you know, Miss So-and-so told you don't do nothing, don't do something, you know it was wrong. By the time you got home, your mama got there. And I used to wonder how them old folks used to get message and folks didn't have telephones then. And you didn't see nobody walking past you on your way to your house or coming from your house. But them people knew in the spirit. Because I used to tell my sister all the time, because my sister was one didn't like to do what she wanted to do. I said, Iris, get in there and clean. This is your week to clean the kitchen. I got time. Also, rather than my mama to come in and fuss and cut up and whip her to death, I would get in there and do it. So finally one day my mama had been noticing stuff. She said, Sadie, this is Iris' week to clean the kitchen, or Iris' week to clean, because 1 week I keep the room clean, the week she keep the kitchen clean, vice versa. We all did the clothing. We ironed on Saturday. We didn't get up ironing no piece every day. Oh, no, man. On Saturdays, you got them, did all your chores, all your clothes was ironed up for the whole week. Every night before you, when you took your bath, you washed your socks and panties out. You may have had some more in the drawer, but mama didn't wash your drawers and all that kind of stuff. When you got to be a young lady, for sure, you took care of your own personal hygiene. Okay. So when mama would be late coming in or whatever, I say, Iris, you know we got to take them clothes off the line. I'd be worked over there. I guess that's why I'm a working horse now, because I, rather than hear my mama fuss and rip her behind, I would get in there and do it. So my mama stopped me from doing that. And then when she leave or turn her back, Iris out. At that time, we're living in the project. She gone somewhere. I'm out in the project. Iris, because her name Iris. Oh, God, I can remember how you used to say it. Iris. Iris. Just like that. Oh, Iris. Good. You better come on when you hear me, my little boy, because I'm talking heavier now. I've gotten older, but my voice always was real light. And I said, I'm the only one out here hollering for my sister. Everybody else know they have their behinds at home. I'm saying that younger, older not, but at that time I just say, where is that? So when she would finally surface from somebody's house out there, she in somebody's house. And because I was always a homebody that stayed home, read books, loved to cook and all this kind of stuff. Fix up, make up, whatever time the mama had, fix up the table, all kind of stuff I would see in the magazine. I would do that for my mom and her at the house, you know, stuff like that. And she used to always tell me, she said, whoever your husband you marry, I hope he a rich man. Because you'll cook up every bit of food I got in the house trying this recipe, that recipe. I was always like that from young coming up. And
I love
so,
go ahead, I'm sorry.
Oh, and somebody had some material, mama didn't have none, I'd go in the neighborhood to see who has some extra material from the dry goods store, that's what we used to call it, that I could make me a little outfit for church, for school.
Now, that's one thing I don't like to do. I don't much care for the sewing. I ain't like to sew, but I'm not. I love to cook now, but I don't like to sew. That ain't the only in my tea, but I cook in a minute. Because I know even this past week, like I said, I'm doing the Daniel fast right now, so the only thing I do is
next week. That's what I'm on. Last night I had my salad and baked fish and vegetables.
Yeah, like I said, Saturday night I had went to the store, got me some groceries, so, you know, I cut me some food for the week or whatever, cut my stuff for my success. I'm eating salad every day, and so this week I'm eating salad and eat some greens, because I made me some greens, but I didn't put no meat in. I just put them, I didn't put no meat in there at all. And I'm like, Lord, I ain't never had no greens. Me having some greens, and then I have no meat, and I'm like, ooh, but I've been doing.
And, you know, I looked in the cabinet the other day, I said, ooh, here's some imitation bacon. I don't normally buy bacon, but it's an imitation bacon. I said, I wonder would that be considered meat, this imitation bacon, to put in my salad, but I didn't put it in there.
But I've been doing good, cause like I said, even like I said, when I'm about to the church on Sunday night, when I've been going to the revival of the weekend, the pastor, he had prayed for me or whatever, and he didn't know I was on a day of fast, but he was like, for woman of God, even if you're doing your fast, how he said, I don't know how long you're going to be on, but even if you're doing your fast, God's going to take the weight off your body. He told me that I just started praying, because I'm like,
he said he's going to take what?
the weight off my body, me doing
oh,
the fast.
Oh, good.
Take the weight off my body, because that's how this comes. Even, like, even before I started the fast,
mm-hmm.
that's how I prayed to ask God for, Lord, I want to be healthy. I want to get some weight on my body. See, somebody do it. Watch what I eat now.
Mm-hmm.
I don't do the breads, the sodas, the sweat. I don't do none of this.
Mm-mm.
Mm-hmm. Oh, man, I'm trying to stay with. I'm trying to stay
with. And with breads, me and Frederick eat bread. Bread, a loaf of bread, a stay in our refrigerator so long, we just have to go ahead and give it to the birds.
For real.
Mm-hmm. Because when I eat, if I eat bread,
mm-hmm.
it's wheat bread.
Yeah, that's
and it might
yeah.
be once every 6 months, 3 or 6 months when I eat a piece of bread.
For real.
Now, rice, I'll eat a little bit more rice, but it's not every day.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't eat a lot of pasta. I eat some, you know, macaronis. I'll fix with salads.
Mm-hmm.
Now and then baked macaroni or spaghetti.
Mm-hmm.
Oh.
Yeah. But I'm trying, like I said, I prayed and asked God how to do this. He said, my daughter, eat the fruits and vegetables, other stuff alone. That's what I've been doing. Like I said,
mm-hmm. That's what I've been, baby. I done had a pan this morning. I got up and put it in the blender. I had took out a bag of strawberry, a bag of a berry blend. I had some blueberries, and I got a big old thing of blueberries in the freezer.
Mm-hmm.
And added two or three cubes of ice and put it in the blender
mm-hmm.
and drank that.
Mm-hmm. But yeah, like I said, my mind is made up. And then, too, I come in the nighttime and I begin my treatment about 20 minutes. And I think I got my treatment less than about 20 minutes. I sure did. Yes, ma'am. So I'm going to do a little bit of everything to get this body back in order. Yes,
I made me enough fish for today.
Mm-hmm.
All I do is just warm it up, just put it on my plate with my little vegetable because I had me the big thing of vegetable, which had the carrots, the peas and the broccoli and all that together.
Okay.
But I'm going to have to fix me some more tonight, different one, because Frederick was eating his and two with me last night. So
mm-hmm.
I said, okay, and I had me a salad.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's
green salad
day.
With the carrots in it and the lettuce.
Yeah, I had me some salads that's made in there because I bought a bag of lettuce and then I cut me cucumber, tomatoes, and put my little egg in the cucumber, tomatoes, and egg and go from there. Yeah, and some green bell peppers. Yeah, I like my bell peppers too. I eat them, my salad too, whatever. But like I said, like, so one thing about God, he told me how to do this, and he really gave me the grace to even to sustain me, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I really don't be that hungry, like I said. Like I said, I don't really eat my dinner till like 6:45 and eat off my job, so
mm-hmm.
he gave me the grace and sustain me. But yeah, you know, I'm trying to drink more water in the process too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I've been drinking a lot of water.
I'm just trusting God.
Yeah, Deborah say, Pastor, how you making that? I said, well, baby, I'm drinking my water. She said, I ain't drank so much water. I said, yeah, baby. I said, by me being a water drinker, I said, because I get the that, you know, water delivered here to the house.
Okay.
But after I knew this going on the fast, I didn't take no orders. Last month or this month, I'll start back my orders next month because I got individual water bottles, you know.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. But, girl, let me get off here and let you start your day. Let me get across town and pick up this.
Because he's 11:30. Let him in the bed and the phone with you. I love you, Miss Sada.
I love you too, baby.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.